Access number 29996, Mr. Mike Brown, Real 8. Now, you mentioned dysentery started while you were on the mic.
Yes.
Tell me about that. How bad did you get it? How bad?
I got it. We all got it very badly. And, all right, you had to go where you could, when you could. And you didn't really care, to be honest. And at the end, when we actually got to the next camp, we all had it. We were all running backwards and forwards to the toilet all the time, which was a great big pit with a bar around it when we got to Bad Orb. But when we got there, we went...
Now, what happened when you got to Bad Orb? That's, as we said,
it's 9B. This was a camp we were taken in. One of the first things we did, well, we had a shower. We were allowed a shower. And I remember thinking then, gosh, so-and-so, gosh, didn't he look thin? He used to be one of these fat people. You know, we didn't realise, I don't think, or I didn't realise that I was thin. And he, I thought, he used to be one of the fat people, and now he was perhaps normal or a little bit thinner. This was another camp where, well, you know, there were the ordinary three-tiered beds, bunks. Otherwise, it was the inside was much the same.
Now, what was life like at Bad Orb?
Not very good, because most of the time we were all ill, tired, worn out. There was no real compound to walk around. The only thing, there were Americans in that camp that we were able to talk to sometimes. They'd been captured in the Ardennes. A lot of them had come straight from America, more or less straight into POW camp.
How did you get on with the
all right,
first
yes.
You'd seen them, was it?
Well, yes, oh yes. First, we'd seen them, you know, there. We didn't have a lot to do with them. But, no, the food there was even worse than anywhere else. And less.
What way?
Well, it was poor. The meat was, oh, the bits of meat were poor, and everything. The bread ration, I think, was the same, but only just. And there wasn't much to go with it. And we were hungry. We were really in a bad way. My friend, I never forget, he kept fainting, and it was through lack of food. And also, I got at that time, I got a flea bite that went bad on my arm and another on my neck that caused an abscess, which is what I had when I came home. And my legs had been, I mean, I'd managed to walk. My leg had healed up then. But whilst I was there, just going to the toilet, it was such agony with my legs. And I didn't know till I got home that I'd got a thrombosis in one leg and phlebitis in the other. And, well, both of them, actually. I didn't know that. I didn't even know what they were when I was told. But when we did eventually get home...
I'll come back. But they were causing you a lot of pain.
They were starting to cause me pain. And we weren't walking, well, there was no compound to walk around with. Really, when the sun was out, we used to sit outside in the sun and de-louse, sir. Otherwise, we did practically nothing. We just did not have the energy for anything.
Now, while you were there, there was a meningitis outbreak. Do you remember
well,
that?
Yes, it was. They were said there's meningitis, and that was the reason given for not marching us out again. They were talked about marching us out again because the Americans now were coming. Before we'd marched from the Russians, now the Americans were coming. Meningitis, one of the people, and he, funnily enough, was a glider pilot, was supposed to have meningitis, and he was, I hadn't known him before, but I'd shared a bunk with him, or shared a bed with him in Falling Bostel. And he eventually died. That's all I remember of that. But that was the reason given for us not marching out again, which was just as well.
So there weren't that many cases.
Oh, no, no. It was just rumoured that it was there.
So what happened next? They seem to be reducing as you get into late March, because you're there until...
April, yeah. End of March, April.
So you say you always thought it was 2nd of April.
I always thought it was Good Friday. Easter Monday on April the 2nd.
But it probably was.
Yeah, I don't know why. You see, those dates may be... I copied that from what I'd written.
Well, we'll stick with what you said. Yeah. And what happened in the last days? You know, were you getting less food again?
Less food. We were getting very little food. And the bread ration, I think, was cut a bit again. And the soup. And then we didn't get potatoes or something.
Were you still getting Red Cross parcels? Or were they less of them?
I think we got one. And I believe one was divided between 24 people. I do remember that. Or 20-something people. What it is, we'd have got the parcel, divided up in 24 pieces, and and somebody had this, and somebody had something else. But that is all we had.
Now, what's the attitude of the guards changing at all?
Well, I don't remember seeing them. They were there, obviously, to keep us in place.
Now, what happened in the end, then?
In the end, the night before, we could see in the distance gunfire, big gunfire. And obviously, they were getting close. And the next day, the Americans burst in. I didn't actually see them come in, but of course, we all went to see the tanks when they had come in. And that was...
How'd you feel?
Marvellous. Really, it was a great day. I mean, that's why I say I'm sure it was April the 2nd. Why I got the 30th, I don't know, but I'm sure it was Easter Monday anyhow. And they came in and thought, oh, thank goodness for that.
And how did they treat him? Because you need handling with care when you're that weak.
Well, they, of course, were the fighting. They went on their way, and we were given... some of their rations, K-rations or whatever it is, all their fancy food. Well, of course, one of their meals would last us all day. And you had to be kept, we were warned, don't eat too much, little and often. It was all very rich food. And obviously because the Americans were in the camp, the Americans that were in the camp went home first, which was fair enough, you see. And eventually it became our turn.
And how did you get back?
We were taken by American lorry to an American Air Force camp. We got there and all our clothes were slung on a bonfire. Anything really you had was slung on a bonfire. We were deloused thoroughly. And we spent the first night there in a tent. And
To where?
Well, I don't know where it was. And next morning we were taken by Dakota to a large camp at Le Havre, where we spent a night in bell tents, and a camp bed in bell tents. And the next morning we got on aircraft, Dakotas again. Funnily enough, they'd come from Dan Anthony, this particular one we got on, and they flew us back to Wing in this country.
And what was your feelings when you got back?
Oh, it was lovely. I remember my friend, when he landed here, he got down and kissed the ground. I always think of that when I see the Pope. I still see him sometime and remind him. But when I got back, I got off this. I was going to tell you this. Got off the thing. They got quite near to the hangar where we were to go. I got up and I sort of must have staggered or something. But the RAF officer there to sort of greet us said, "Hang on a minute. You're not walking anywhere." And one of the RAF cars came by and he stopped him. "Corporal, take this man." So I had to get in the car and I was taken to the hangar where there was a reception going on, you know. the all the women were there, and the Red Cross were there, you know, all wanting to do something because they hadn't the war hadn't done it. We were all given there a little bag, sort of sponge bag thing, with goodies in it, shall we say, you know, pen, a pencil, and a toothbrush, I think. You see, we'd never had a toothbrush and all that sort of thing, and perhaps a bit of soap. I do remember all that. We were then taken from there to a camp outside Missenden. I mean, I didn't live anywhere near here then. And that night, we got there and we had a good meal. And it was quite late in the day. And then some of the people said, well, they're going down the road. Did I want to go? I said, look, I can't walk down there. And then he had a lot of them went down the road and they thought they'd phone home, you see. But of course, there was only one telephone box. But anyhow, from there, we sent a telegram. We were all given a telegram. Or we were all told we could send a telegram. All we had to do was give our name and address in. Send a telegram saying we'd arrive back in the United Kingdom, which was good. Next morning when I woke up, my legs were like, they were tree trunks.
They'd swollen up.
They were terrible size. And anyhow, I thought, well, I'll better wash and shave. Went down to the wash house, because in those days you didn't have the wash thing next door, the wash house, and I washed, and I started to shake. You know, I couldn't stand. I had to come back. I could not stand. I went to breakfast. I said, I'll go and have breakfast, then I'm going to go sick. I said, I can't do it. And all my friends said, oh, we'll help you, you know, we'll help you with everything. And of course, they weren't really in the same state as, near enough in the same state as I was. Anyhow, I went sick, and the doctor saw me, looked at my legs, and I was in Amersham Hospital by mid-morning.
And you say, what was it that you had wrong? Thrombosis?
I had thrombosis in my left leg. I had phlebitis in both legs.
Phlebitis?
Yeah.
What's that?
Well, it's a swelling of the legs or something. I think they've changed it now to something. Anyhow, they were all swollen. And I had dysentery, a malnutrition. I had a lot, I think. I weighed about 8.5 stone.
Now, how long were you hospitalised for?
I was there for about six, seven weeks, I think.
So April to May?
May. I was there for VE Day.
Do you remember VE Day?
Yes. This is an interesting bit. Funnily enough, at the exhibition of the Living Museum last year, I got on the BBC Overseas Service saying what I was doing on VE Day.
Well, tell us a story.
On that morning, a young nurse, a young VAD girl came round, very pretty girl. She came round to each bed with a medicine glass and a bottle of gin and gave us all a swill and said, thank you very much. The whole ward at Amersham Hospital had been put aside for returned prisoners of war. And I thought, that's nice. I think she's the only person that ever thanked us. And that was really the end.
Now, when did you get home? When were you demobilised?
Oh, after leave and going back to the...
What do you remember of your leave?
I remember going... I couldn't walk very far. I couldn't really stand up for long. And I went and stayed with friends up in the north for a while. Had a good time, but I couldn't do a lot. And when I went back to this selection unit for POWs, they said, oh, you can't, you know, you're not fit. My legs weren't fit to do anything else, you know, for the army. And I was sent, first they said, well, you better go. I was sent to Shenley Hospital, where I got in terrible trouble one day from the matron. because she used to come round once a week, and she came round, my bed I thought was perfect. Oh, yeah, yeah. Your sheets are on upside down, she said. I said, what? I didn't know it was possible. Don't be silly. Ask the sister. So I got in trouble there.
So when were you demobilised?
In January.
So you were in hospital?
No, well, I was there for about a week or so. Then I went to a convalescent depot at Bedford. And whilst there, I got myself a job in the postings office for returning all these men back to their units. And each week I used to send a telegram saying, please send me to my back to a unit. But I was there all that time, long time.
So what about the demobilisation? Tell me about that. What's the procedure?
Well, I was then sent to back to another camp at Devizes, and there they decided I was definitely no good again for the army. And I was sent to Taunton. And funnily enough, I got on the train at Devizes with the other people to go to be demobbed. And in that carriage was somebody I'd known at Down Ampney, East Squadron Down Ampney. Isn't it funny? He also was going to be demobilised. He'd been in the army a long time, and he was due out then, you see.
So what was the procedure? How did they demobilise you? What's it all mean?
Well, we went there, and we were really issued with our clothes. We got our civilian clothes.
The demob suit. What did you think of it, the clothes?
I thought it was quite good. The Mac, the hat was a Trilby thing, which I only used for whitewashing a shed or something one day. But they were quite good. I thought they were quite good quality. They were. I was quite happy with it.
Now, what were you going to do? I mean, you joined.
Well, I wasn't sure. I wasn't sure, but I started by doing. I thought, well, I'd like to be a surveyor or something like that. So I went into the surveyor's office. Well, I wanted something a little bit active. I didn't want to sit and write all day. But anyhow.
So what happened?
Well, I did that for a while, and then.
So you got a job as a surveyor?
Well, no, not. More or less, I went to classes. You know, evening classes to see. But
how did it go?
Well, it was all right. I enjoyed it, but I don't know. Other things cropped up with one thing and another. And
so what did you do? What was your career? How long was it before you settled down to a career?
Well, I went back more to do timber stuff in the end.
Was that for the family firm?
Well, no, it wasn't then, but. Well, it was a certain connection with my father, what he'd done, you see, partly. But it wasn't with the original thing.
So that you were in the timber industry?
Yes, for quite a while.
That's what you did? That was
your
career.
Yeah.
Well, that gets... Now, did your war experiences have any effect on you, mentally or physically, good or bad?
Well, physically, they stopped me doing a lot of things, leg-wise, you know. But they told me that I was young, which I was, and I would get over it, and I did. And I had no trouble until... They said, you may have trouble when you get older. And 20-odd years ago, I had awful trouble with my legs. I got abscesses and all sorts of things. And I went back to the pension people, and they said, yes. They take my pension away, you see, after a few years, because I was getting better. And they gave me another pension, and I've now got a pension. It's only a small one.
A disability pension.
Yeah, which would permit me to go into Chelsea Hospital, if necessary. And I could do worse than that, I think.
Now, what else... any other effects?
No, I don't think so.
What about mentally? Any nightmares or problems?
No, I don't think I've had anything like that. Lack of imagination, I suppose.
Now, what about contacts with your old comrades? Are you a member of any?
Oh, yes.
Tell me about that.
I belong to Glider Pilot Regimental Association.
Now, what does that do?
Well, I became a life member in 1946, 7, whatever, which cost £5. Oh, we go to reunions. We have a main reunion every year. Nowadays, it probably takes the form of a weekend, perhaps Bournemouth. This year, it's actually going to be York. I've been to, we go to branch reunions, London, that's where we went last week. I've been to quite a few other things to do with the Army Air Corps, which is our successors. We go down to Middle Wallop. I've been down to Middle Wallop on Armistice Day. I also go, I've been going to the Field of Remembrance each for the last 10, 15 years, where I've met the Queen Mother, and I've had words with the Queen and Duke of Edinburgh, and you know, when we go there, Mike Hall has also been.
Who we also interviewed her.
And Jack Bruce, you said. He goes there very often. You know, we live around here and we feel we ought to go. We have a plot there, glider pilot plot. It's larger than many plots. And on it now, we put 500 and, I said 21 when I told the Queen, but it's a bit more than that, crosses on it. And every cross has a name of one of our people. And it's surprising when you're putting those crosses in, how many people you know or know of. But it is very good. I've also been, because I'm a disabled ex-serviceman, I've been to this Not Forgotten Association. I've been to the Palace.
Now, what is this Not Forgotten Association? Could you just explain for them?
This is for disabled ex-service people and was founded in 1921 before the British Legion. And I think it is mainly supported by theatrical people. And they will provide, or they used to provide, wireless televisions to people who hadn't got them. There are also these outings. They take people, they've taken them down the river, they've taken them abroad for a few days, and they have this garden party every year, and we went up about, there were five or six glider pilots. We went to the services club and we had a marvellous meal there. Spent the night there, all with this Not Forgotten Association. Breakfast next morning. Taken to the palace. We were presented to the Queen. And then we came back to the services club for another meal. You know, that. I've got a good picture I could show you of me at the palace. But
and meeting your old comrades is really
important. It's good, yes. I think it is good. You see, all these people, 60-odd years we've known each other, you see. And I think it is important that we keep. And it is nice for us. See, a lot of people, it is their family. You know, I know people who have lost, you know, have no one, or not many people. And that is their sort of family. It is regarded as a family. I'm lucky to be. We glide apart. I could be with a lot worse, I'm sure. That's my theory.
Thank you very much.